Welcome to Chapter 15 on the First Aorist Verbs. This chapter will be a kind of a quick chapter. It's fairly easy. We've got all the constituent parts that we need. We just need to put them together. So the First Aorist Verbs will mean the same things as the Second Aorist Verbs did already, but they'll be formed a little differently. And it's that morphology or that formation that we'll have to pick up in this chapter. So let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Say the Lord's Prayer with me.
Pater heimon ho en tois uranois hagias theto to onomasu. Altheto he basileia su genetheto to thelema su.
Now put it all together and say it with me.
Hos en urano kai epiges, ton ar ton, he mon ton, epiusion dos he min se meron.
Let's review our English way of forming the past tense, and then we'll use that as a springboard to get into the distinction between the first and second aorist. There are two ways, at least, of forming the past in English. One is the common way, that's the suffixed ed on the end of a verb. And this is going to be similar to the first aorist, where we add a sa, and so you can kind of typify the first aorist as here a sa, there a sa, everywhere a sa, sa. We'll stick on the end of our verbs, kind of like the English did with the ed. Becomes Charlie laughed, ed, in the past, okay, or the aorist there. And don't make the mistake of equating our past tense with the aorist, because the aorist, as we've said, can be used for past events, present events, or even future events, and its way of formation can be is more of a background tense than actually a time tense past. So be careful you don't equate our English past tense with the aorist. It's much more flexible than that. Now, an internal stem change aorist is a second aorist, and this is like Charlie runs, present tense, to Charlie ran. And so the internal change from the U to the A, that's similar to what we saw in the second aorist with the change from, say, for example, Erkamai to Althon, total change, from Lego to Apon. And so those had the bad boys that we've got to learn. There actually won't be any bad boys in this first aorist. Regularity is good. Here's how the first aorist is formed. On the front, there's a regular augment. Epsilon in front of consonants, various lengthenings and iota subscripts, and you're familiar with how the augment goes on the front of a vowel initial verb or a consonantal initial verb. And here, because we're working with Luo, it's simply got the epsilon as normal. The root stem is Lu from Luo. The tense formative, and this is unique with the first aorist here, is the sa. So you stick a sa between the verb stem and the secondary ending. And we know the secondary endings, the NSM and N endings, and so you just use the secondary endings in the back. So the resultant form is elusas, which is you loosed. Easy enough. Okay, we're ready for our first aorist active paradigm now. These are the active forms, and it's elusa, I loosed. Elusas, you loosed. And elusa, he, she, it loosed. You'll notice the first NSA endings of the secondary endings, that noon is dropped off on the top one there. So it's just sa, just the tense formative by itself. The noon got dropped. So that's a little variation, not a big deal. But and that actually helps us, as we'll see in a minute. And then what we're going to do is do an eh form for the dropping of the noon. So our endings for the first aorist are sa for the singular. Now, over in the plural, we've got elusamen, totally normal. We loosed. Second person plural, elusate, you loosed plural. And elusan, they loosed. You'll notice that the dropping of the noon on the singular now distinguishes the first person singular from the third person plural. So that actually helps us now that the noon got dropped. But you see the endings on the plurals here, the men, te, en, are exactly our secondary endings. No surprises, everything's normal. We like this first aorist. The first aorist middle paradigm is also very regular, as you'd expect by now. Notice this is the first aorist middle. The aorist has a separate passive form that we'll learn in the next chapter. Our singular forms are elusamein, I loosed for myself, eluso, you loosed for yourself,
elusato,
he, she, it loosed for herself, himself, or itself. On the plural side, again, totally regular, elusamatha, we loosed for ourselves. Elusase, you plural loosed for yourselves. And
elusanto,
they loosed for themselves. And so we've got the regular
main o ato, amatha asta anto
endings. You can see that the connecting vowel goes to the alpha rather than going back and forth between the epsilon omicron as we're used to. Just goes simply with a alpha all the way down, except for the second person singular, which goes to eluso. So the form migrates up to a so there. We'll have to remember that. Otherwise, all the rest of them are the same as our normal secondary endings. Which then leads us to our first aorist chant. Here's our chant for the first aorist verb.
Elusa, a-s-a, menta en.
Where the a is a null form, we've dropped the noon on the first person singular. The middle plural form is
elusamein, amein o ato, amatha asta anto.
They all take the alpha endings from the sa, but the one that's tricky is the second person goes to an o. Otherwise, it's rather normal. Well, let's try the whole chant together.
Elusa, a-s-a, menta en. Elusamein, amein o ato, amatha asta anto.
Let's try it once again.
Elusa, a-s-a, menta en. Elusamein, amein o ato, amatha asta anto.
And one final time.
Elusa, a-s-a, menta en. Elusamein, amein o ato, amatha asta anto.
Pretty straightforward. Just got to remember that in the first aorist, there's a here a sa, there a sa, everywhere a sa sa. Because of the sa ending, we've got, once again, the sigma addition. When the sa, the sigma form, collides with the consonants that end the verb in some cases. And so, for example, as we've seen before, the palatals, the kugaka, the kappa gamma ki, when you add the sigma, it becomes an xi. So an example of this is
adidaxa.
I taught from
didasco.
The sigma and the kappa collide, forming the xi.
Adidaxa.
Similarly, our labials, the pubafa, p, beta, phi, plus the sigma, becomes an psi. And in this case, we've got eblepsa, where the sigma and the p of blepo collide and form a psi. So it's eblepsa, And they say, wait a minute, I thought the aorist form of blepo was
adon.
I saw. Actually, what happened there was
adon
actually derives from
horao,
which also means I see. And so there was a little switch there that I did on you in the second aorist and things. It wasn't blepo necessarily that went to adon. It was probably
horao
that goes to
adon.
I mean, basically the same thing. It's interesting that in the present tense, blepo will usually be used, but when they switch to the aorist, the
horao
form or
adon
in the aorist is very much most frequent form. So it's blepo in the present,
adon
in the aorist, but they actually come from two different roots. But both mean I see or saw.
Horao
to the second aorist and blepo into the first aorist becomes eblepsa. So just sorry for the confusion there, but we don't know
horao
yet as a vocabulary item, and it's easier to do it that way, I think. The dentals now, with the tedatha, the tau, delta, theta, when you add the sigma, becomes simply a sigma. In other words, the dental drops out and the sigma sticks. So it's epesa from patho, which means I persuaded. Now the lemminers reappear here as well. The ones, the verbs that end in a lambda, mu, nu, or rho, often called the liquids. I call them the lemminers just to remember which letters they are. When you add the sigma drops. And so what happens is there's a sigma drops, so there's no indication then that this is a first aorist because our first aorist sigma drops out. So it's emena, and you can see with the dropping of the sigma, the vowel lengthens from an epsilon to a diphthong epsilon iota. Emena, meaning I remained. So watch out for the lemminers again. The sigma is going to drop, and a vowel preceding vowel will usually lengthen. And we've seen these sigma additions before with the future, so this should be no problem. And let's go take a look at which verbs use the first aorist. They are our friends. Here's a list of first aorist verbs that we're already familiar with. Akuo, I hear, becomes akusa, I heard. You'll notice the epsilon augment on the front causes the alpha to go long to an eta, the sa on the ending, as we'd expect. Akusa, I heard.
Apostello
is a lemminer, so you notice that the epsilon augment gets added on the ape. Omicron goes to an epsilon because the apo is a preposition tagged onto the front there. And then you'll notice one of the lambda drops out and the sigma drops out of our sa, and you're left with simply apestila, I sent. We've already seen blepo goes to eblepsa. The P ending goes to a psi because of the sigma, the augment, the epsilon tacked on the front. No problem there. Agrapho becomes agrapsa, augment on the front, epsilon, and a sa ending on the back hits with the phi, goes to a psi. No surprises there. Didasco, I teach, becomes adidoxa, epsilon on the front augmenting, and a sa on the back hits the kappa, goes up to an xi, I taught. Pistuo becomes epistusa, the sa ending goes on the back, the epsilon augment on the front, totally normal, I believed. Now, thello, I wished or willed, is a little crazy here. The augment gets added on the front, and instead of being a simple epsilon, it actually goes to an eta. So it's athelesa. The epsilon augment on the front is actually hitting, I believe it's another epsilon that's kind of like residual from an ancient form, and therefore goes up to an eta rather than simply adding an epsilon on the front. So you got to remember this one. On thelo, athelesa is the actual form. After you're used to that epsilon shift in the front to an eta, not a big problem. The rest is normal. I wished or willed. I wish that one were regular. But sometimes the history of the language comes into play to give us some odd forms, and also to keep us on our toes. If you're ever interested in reading about the history and the development of the language and how it affects some of these forms, check out A.T. Robertson's massive grammar, the first couple 300 pages. He goes through this. It's really pretty interesting after you've got the basics down. And three more of these first aorist verbs. Meno. You can see that this is a laminar liquid with a noon on the end. It becomes emena. I remained. You see that the sigma is dropped. The medial vowel is lengthened to a diphthong. And then check out
crino.
I judge becomes ekrina. The sigma drops, the iota is a lengthened, and the epsilon augment on the front. I judged. It also is a laminar. Sozo, I save, becomes esosa. And you see here the zeta goes down and gets eaten up by the sigma. And this is a sibilant. And so the two sibilant collide, reducing to a sigma. But I think we've seen this before. If you think back to the future, esosa means I saved. A couple examples translating these first aorists. They're translated exactly the same way as the second aorist. But here's an example of the first aorist. Kai ekousan phones megales ek tu urenu. And they heard a loud voice from heaven. They heard ekousan. You see the augment on the front of ekousan, the san ending, the third person plural. They heard. A phones megales. A loud voice. Second example is seen in
ego pantote didaxa.
En synagoge kai en to
hiero.
I always taught
a didaxa.
You can see the augment on the front, the sigma hitting the kappa of
didasco.
See? So just a couple translations to illustrate how the first aorist is used. Now we're ready for our vocabulary for chapter 15. The first word is
alos a-o.
And it means other. The second word is
artos.
And it means bread. Remember the Lord's Prayer? The third word is day. And it means it is necessary. The fourth word is exousia, and it means authority.
The fifth word is heteros aon,
and it means different. The sixth word is eti, and it means yet or still, kind of like yeti. The seventh word is
ophthalmos,
and it means eye. The eighth word is
technon,
and it means child. The ninth word is
topos.
And it means place. And the tenth word is phos. And it means light.